Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. And down at Nats Park is Toby Altizer, where the Nationals are going to take on the Colorado Rockies tonight. And, Toby, that's good news because the Rockies are bad at baseball.
Yeah, well, it was good news when the Marlins were coming into town, too. They were bad at baseball, and they just got swept by them. Matter of fact, the Rockies just had their first winning series in over a year because they swept the Marlins. So you certainly hope it's a good thing, but they actually have to go out there on the field and win the games this week against the Rockies.
Okay, never mind. Anthony, you can hang up on Toby now. I don't want to talk about anything. No, Toby, were you in the room when Davey made the comments this weekend?
No, I wasn't there, but I heard from people immediately afterwards saying Davey had said some out-of-character comments, I think is the best way to put it, because generally Davey stands up for his players even when no one else will, even when the numbers aren't speaking well for them. He's always done a great job of defending his players. This was really out of character for him to kind of make those sorts of comments that really, I think what he was doing, Craig, is he was trying to stand up for his coaches, which I guess is somewhat understandable, but throwing your players under the bus in turn isn't great either.
No, and so for those that haven't heard it, Davey is asked, like, you know, kind of whose fault is it that you're on this, at that time, 7-game losing streak, because these comments were Saturday, and then 8 games now with another loss on Sunday. And he does exactly what Toby just said. He says, no, it's always about the players. And it's almost like philosophically, I get what he's saying there. And then to your point, he certainly felt like he was standing up for his coaches. So now that we have a couple days here, and you know, you were on the ballpark all day today, and you know, other folks have been reporting, like, what is there something that's been happening, a disconnect between players and coaches, that he felt the need to stand up for the coaches? Was this a misguided attempt to motivate the players? Like, what's going on here that we have landed in this very tense, bizarre, and frankly sad spot where the Nats just got swept by the Marlins, have lost 8 straight, and I don't know how else you put it other than the manager threw the players under the bus?
Yeah, so it's a weird thing, Craig. Over the last couple of years, fans have been incredibly frustrated with the results on the field, obviously, because they haven't been winning ball games, and so in turn, you're calling for the hitting coach, you're calling for the pitching coach, and it's year after year people are calling for these guys' heads. And it'd be one thing if this was a first year of these guys, but they've been around. And I think part of the reason that it's kind of run thin on a lot of people is these guys were basically up for a contract last year. They were renewed to be brought back at the end of last season around August timeframe, and people then were kind of frustrated. And so when it carries over to this year and the results on the field weren't great, but they were approaching that 500 mark. You know, before this 8-game winning streak or losing streak, they're 3 games just below 500, so they're kind of right there. And then they go on an 8-game losing streak, and you get some of this frustration kind of boiling over, and the fan base, I feel like, just wants the pound of flesh, and understandably so, because the team has not been playing up to their standards, or really the standards that were set for this team for almost a decade, from 2012 to 2019, when they were perennially a wild card, a division champion type team. So I think some of that kind of boiled over, and Davey has seen the criticism, which is not new this year, but has been something that's happened over the last couple of years. And I think he saw an opportunity to kind of stand up for his guys, and in turn, I think inadvertently threw all of his players under the bus. And it's just out of character for Davey, because he's always done such a good job being careful what he says. And he'll occasionally say something in the media to motivate his guys. Like a week ago or so before the Mets series, he kind of had said something cryptic in terms of, hey, if some things don't change, then, you know, maybe we'll have to make some changes. We'll have to make some adjustments if guys don't get the message and all those things. So he's already said some stuff like that to kind of get to the players earlier this year. But I think he ran into a problem where he wants to defend his guys, which a lot of people will have the frustration that they'll look at it as saying, hey, Davey just hired his friends and he's not holding them accountable. but he wanted to stand up for his coaching staff. But unfortunately for him, he ended up throwing all his players under the bus in turn. And I can't tell you what the vibe was overall. It didn't feel that off in the clubhouse when I was in there earlier today, but you know, you're just seeing players kind of doing their stuff going around. So I couldn't sense if something was off, but there's definitely, I think, a frustration and understanding around this team right now. And frankly, like you said to start this, the Rockies coming to town couldn't come at a better time for this ball club.
Toby Altizer, Bustin' Loose Baseball, with us here on the Hoffman Show. So, Toby, if I were to ask you like a similar version of the question that Davey was asked, to say like, "Hey, man, like, what's going on? What is not working right now?" What would your answer be as to why the Nats are on this 8-game losing streak?
It's a combo of everybody. I mean, there's not a single person that's not accountable. And so, to Davey's point, the players aren't coming through in big spots. They've had so many opportunities yesterday. I think they were 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position. Mackenzie Gore kept them in the ballgame, and you're right there, and you're not able to win it. The first game of the Marlins series, you score 9 runs, which you hadn't scored runs, it felt like, at all in this losing streak, but you scored 9. But unfortunately, Mitchell Parker and the pitching staff weren't able to turn in a good enough performance, albeit with a 2-hour rain delay mixed in there, but they end up giving up 11 runs. So it really is, I think, partially on the players, to Davey's point, saying that they have to come through, they have to go out there and perform. And ultimately, you understand this, Craig, in professional sports, it is a player-driven league, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, you know, the guys aren't out there. So I understand Davey's point on that, but for him to say it's never coaching, I can't get on board with that, because consistently this team is one of the worst base running teams in the big leagues. And at some point, that's coaching, right? Like, you're teaching these guys. Guys are coming up. You got another debut tonight in Brady House, and hopefully he doesn't run the bases poorly, but guys coming up and making bad decisions on the base paths. And you've seen growth from some young guys, so it's not to say that there hasn't been development, there hasn't been coaching, but consistently, when I talked to Mackenzie Gore about 2 weeks ago, and he had mentioned having success at the major league level, and he's been really, really good this year, and feels like he's turned a corner. And I asked him, like, "Hey, how do you go from being guys that are putting up decent numbers and looking like solid big leaguers to actually winning ball games at this level?" And he said, "We got to stop beating ourselves." And to me, that's where the issue comes in, that they beat themselves so many times, and it's unforced errors, and it's problems that should be able to be fixed. And that, to me, is on the coaching staff for not being able to help these players mature into winning ball players. And so that's where I think the coaching staff comes into this. Part of it's ownership. They could have improved the baseball team. Part of it's Rizzo. You know, he needs to make better decisions in terms of some of the guys that he brings in here with the limited budget that he's given. So I think everybody has a hand in this. But to Davey's point as well, like, the players have to go out there and perform, and they haven't performed well enough during this losing streak, but I also think that the coaching staff and some of the decisions they've made haven't helped out either.
All right, Toby, so tonight, the Brady House debut. Tell us more about Brady House. What should fans know? Obviously, a top pick just a couple years ago. Like, what's he been doing in the minors? Why now? And how quickly can he make an impact at the major league level?
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how quickly he can be an impact player for this team, because I think he could look good in this Rocky series, but then you go on the road to take on the Dodgers, and how will you look then? You know, the big leagues are tough. You're facing top competition night in, night out, unless you're facing the Rockies. So hopefully he can make an impact tonight, but he's someone who's a big third baseman, 6'4", 22 years old. He's still kind of filling out his frame a little bit. He's going to still get bigger, but he's a power right-handed bat. There's going to be swing and miss. He's going to strike out. That's something that's going to be a part of his game, but hopefully in there, you get some doubles, you get some homers, and you get some real power added to this lineup, which is huge because they need power, but specifically they need power from the right-handed side because this lineup is super lefty heavy. And so having a power right-handed bat, especially against the lefty tonight who they're going to face in the Rockies for Palmquist, I think they need that. He's going to be an upgrade defensively at third base over Jose Tena, who was sent down in his stead to Rochester. I think he's going to be, I don't know that he's going to be great defensively right away, but they've frankly been getting below average defensive play at third base since Paul DeJong went down. So I think they'll get average to potentially above average third base play there from Brady House. And hopefully he provides a nice pop. He's been crushing the minor leagues this year. He's hitting over 300 in AAA, OPS over 850, 13 homers on the year. So he's been crushing the ball down in AAA. Now it's about seeing this carry over into the big leagues. Last year, you know, he at one point was a top 100 prospect for this team and someone that was really highly thought of. Last year was a very disappointing year overall. But now when you look at, for him, a big part of his career has been health. When he's been healthy in the 3 or 4 years, a majority of them have been more along the lines of what we've seen this year where, you know, it's a 280, 290. In this case, it's a 300 average, driving the ball all over the place with some power versus last year feels like the anomaly where he struggled a little bit. So hopefully he can come to the big league level, make the adjustments necessary. But I think they need a right-handed power bat, and that's hopefully what he can provide.
So best case scenario, you know, House plays well, Rockies rocky, Nationals get a couple of wins here, this thing all peters out. The Davey thing, just we look back in a month and it's like, yeah, that was weird. I wonder you know what, in his Cheerios that morning, right? I was like, what word can I say here that I'm allowed to say on the radio? Also, that's just a gross, what's the word? That not metaphor, but it's a gross saying. But people know it. This is going downhill quickly. This is like the Nats' last 8 games, Toby. The point is, hopefully Brady House plays well, and this Davey thing, we look back and we're like, that was weird. If it doesn't, if, put the House thing aside, if the Nats do not turn this around and we're talking they lose, you know, 5 of their next 8 games type of deal, 8 of their next 10, is Davey's job at this point safe with where they are in the rebuild and what the learners want to do and where Rizzo is? Just feels like it's been a noisy year and maybe something does need to change. Or is this group solidly together and, you know, maybe they'll visit that at the end of the season?
I don't know how anybody that's on the coaching staff can look at what's happened over the last week and a half and feel safe. I don't know that at this moment, I wouldn't think that they're going to fire Davey, but, you know, talk to me in 4 days and we'll see what happens to the Rockies series. If they lose 3 or 4 to the Rockies, I don't see how some change isn't made. You got to shake up the clubhouse and figure some things out. And, you know, if that's ultimately Davey, if that's Darnell Cole's the hitting coach, Jim Hickey the pitching coach, Ricky Gutierrez the third base coach, or whatever it is, they would have to make some sort of change because clearly it's not working. And the thing that I think is interesting about this, Craig, is they could very well and probably likely will win 3 or 4 of the series, hopefully. And if that's the case, people will immediately feel like they can move on. But there's another stretch coming up where they could suddenly find themselves in a hole once again where they go out to L.A., they go to San Diego, two really, really good teams in the NL West. They have a little bit of a layup or a little bit easier competition against the Angels, but you just lost a series to the Marlins, and the Angels are better than the Marlins. And so you got a 3-series West Coast road trip where realistically you could go 2-7 there, or maybe even worse, and it wouldn't be all that surprising. And then you come home to one of the best teams in the league in the Detroit Tigers to begin the month of July, and then the Red Sox come to town for the 4th of July series. And I mean, that's 15 games right there where I don't think it would be all that surprising if they continue to play the way that they've played, where they might win 3 or 4 against the Rockies, but then they could go, I don't know, 4-11, 5-10, and it wouldn't be all that surprising if it were even a little bit worse than that. So they have to figure stuff out quickly. I don't think you can even look at saying, hey, they win this Rocky series and all is kumbaya again with Davey and the team. I think you really got to get to the All-Star break before we start feeling like, oh, okay, they're out of the woods with this whole situation. Because even if they win here, they could end up right back in a losing streak where people are having similar sentiments once again, even though they won some games against the Rockies.
All right, much more on this on the Bustin' Loose Baseball podcast. It's Toby. It's Grant Paulson. Toby's at the ballpark tonight, so check out his social media feeds for more on tonight's game against the Rockies, and then you'll hear him on 106.7 The Fan and, of course, the Bustin' Loose Baseball podcast over the next couple of days talking about whatever happens. Toby, appreciate your time as always, sir, and enjoy the game tonight.
Always great, Craig. See ya.
All right, see you, buddy. That's Toby Altizer with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, I got a couple thoughts I want to tack on. We preview the NBA Finals at 6:30. But first, the latest in the world of women's sports presented to you by Wawa. Chicken, how you want it. At Wawa, with customizable roasted and crispy chicken sandwiches. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. NBA Finals preview coming at you in just a few minutes. But first, a few follow-up thoughts on our conversation with Toby Altizer. And what Davey Martinez said over the weekend. And it's one of the more wild things, trying to be nice about it, but frankly, I don't think Davey Martinez is dumb, right? Davey Martinez is a smart guy. He's been around a long time. And when you know, managers in baseball talk multiple times per day, they might talk more than any other coach in sports. They do, you know, they play 162 times a year. They play, they talk typically pregame and postgame. They're given other interviews. Like, Davey Martinez doesn't have a laundry list of dumb things he said over the years. So that is his track record going in, and he's also in the middle of an incredibly frustrating stretch. And my guess is there's more than we know here as of now. We'll see if reporters can uncover more of why he was so particularly frustrated at this time. But the correct answer always, both substantively and politically, when you are asked about criticism as a coach or a player or an executive, is it's all our fault. It's all of us. And the way I would answer a question like that if I was Davey is it's everybody. We got to coach better. Players are going to play better, but those things are related. And if you're a coach, it's on you to take the blame. Like, this is where the political maybe, you know, bends a little bit from the reality. Like, eventually guys got to play. Like, if Davey told a reporter privately or told his buddy privately, like, dog, these guys just aren't that good at baseball. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I would get that. But mentally, to stay in it, mentally to make sure that you're doing everything you can and to bite the bullet politically. And I remember Sean McVay telling me this earlier or in my career. And he said, man, if you ask me, especially at the podium, you ask me what happens when things go well, it's always going to be the players. When things go wrong, it's always going to be my fault. And I was like, that's good to know, Sean. I now know not to ask you those questions. And so, you know, if Sean called a play and it was a good play and players messed it up, then he's looking at it like, I didn't set him up well there. Because maybe, even though it's the right play based off the situation, did you teach it well enough? Did you prepare them well enough that they execute it? Because as a coach, that's got to be your mentality. As a coach, your mentality is, if the players mess it up, what did I not do that they weren't in a position to succeed? And the answer, truthfully, might not be nothing. But also, as a player, to flip side this real quick, as a player, hey, I got to go make a play. Like, ultimately, like, yeah, coach has got to tell me. And so unless I'm doing exactly what he said and it's the exact wrong thing, it's my fault. I got to go make the play. But if everyone keeps the mentality, if you're an executive, hey, did we give the coach what they need? Did we give the players the resources? If every single part of your organization is always like, what can I do better? That's how you win. And that's how you create a better culture. It's how people feel supported. It's how you find out just how good you are. And you might find out at the end of the year, as good as you are, isn't good enough. And you need different players. You need more talent. That's sports. Not everyone can win. By nature, the entire sport goes 500 on average because every game has a winner and every game has a loser. But in baseball, it's probably more true to what Davey is saying, to be fair to him. Like, it's not like there's strategy. Hit the ball. Hit them where they ain't. Go. No coach is preaching like, hey, hit it exactly too, guys. Like, sure, you could say we're going to try to take this guy the other way. We're trying to pull a little bit on this guy. You know, you can obviously call for more base running aggression or not. You can call bunts or not. Like, there are strategic choices, but baseball is the ultimate game of execution. How well does a pitcher execute the pitch? Does the batter make solid contact? And then where does the ball land? But to pretend like the coaching doesn't impact that, how you help a guy focus, what is he looking for? Was the scouting report good enough? Did you prepare them mentally? Did you notice that maybe that guy's dragging and needed a day off? Like, there's a million ways in which how you coach affects the player's ability to do their job. That's literally what coaching is. As a fitness coach who has people doing a sport that, like, is not getting them paid millions of dollars, if my athletes don't do what they need to do, the first thing I do is ask myself, did I mess it up for them? The answer might be yes. The answer is probably not. Like, we're not talking about elite athletes that I'm working with here. I mean, they're great. Love them as people, but like, they're not making millions. And even if they were not making the thousands they could make in the sport. So chances are they probably goofed up something. Okay, fine. How do we get better the next time? So that next time, we together as a team, make sure you're prepared. That's what coaching is. And I think that's why that bothers me so much from Davey. It's just to go, look, man, your baseball manager has less impact on his team than any other head coaching position in sports. It's the nature of baseball. But to say it's all about the players belies your responsibility, and part of your very little responsibility is to try to shield the players from some of the scrutiny so that they can be in their best mindset. And maybe he, in the moment, I think this the thing that I think is important here is that read to me like he was trying to protect his coaches, and that they're, whether it's media scrutiny and he thought some, you know, his coaches were under fire, maybe the front office has been on him about his coaches, maybe there's been disagreements between players and coaches, and he thinks it's the coaches are right, so he's standing up for his staff. Maybe it's that, and he went too far with it innocently, and in doing so, protected the players. And that's something that's going to have to be reported out. But at the end of the day, you can't do what he did. You can't say, it's not my responsibility, it's not our responsibility, it's on the players. Your job is to get them ready. And that's why this is a problem. It's why he can't do it. And it's the kind of thing that does, I think, have ripple effects in a locker room, in a clubhouse. And so we'll see if there is, or if the Nats just, you know, get lucky here and get a little confidence going against the Rockies and turn things around. They couldn't against the Marlins, so that doesn't exactly bode well. All right, it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. When we get back, NBA Finals, Game 5. What's got to change for Indiana to steal another one on the road after giving up home court back in Game 4, Game 5 in OKC tonight? We're talking about it next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Oh, we got some good things for real things today. I've sent Anthony a lot of Instagram reels in breaks today.
There is a lot of good stuff.
What's your favorite one?
My favorite one to discuss, probably the Don is my favorite one because it's hilarious.
It's really funny.
I'm interested to see how you would do in that challenge.
Tell you, better than Don, not great.
Okay.
Not great. I don't know how good that one is without the pictures. I think the Steph Curry, D'Angelo, Russell one is fascinating. And it's especially fascinating in terms of what we're about to talk about, which is Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight. It's in Oklahoma City, where obviously the teams split the first two games of this series. They then split in Indianapolis, and that means we're tied at 2 going into tonight. The game certainly turned in the fourth quarter as it got a little chippier. SGA draws some fouls. They get some switches. And to me, that's kind of one of the things that I'm really interested in tonight. It was funny listening to Bill Simmons talk about this because he and Zach Lowe did a home-and-home after Game 3 and Game 4. Where they did Bill's pod right after the game, Game 3, and then Game 4. So in listening to Lowe, I also got Simmons. And he's like, I just think Oklahoma City solved it. Like, they just, you know, they this two-man game between SGA and whoever's got Neesmith on him, you know, especially if it's J-Dub, like, they just get the switch, and then SGA can go. I'm like, Bill, very, very smart basketball historian. Arguably your greatest strength is basketball history, Bill Simmons. You think Rick Carlisle is not going to have an answer in 3 days? Come on, Bill. What are we doing?
What if he doesn't? What if he believes in Neesmith?
Like, then I trust Rick Carlisle to get Aaron Neesmith in a much better place mentally, and for he and Nembhard to hype him up and get him mentally prepared to say, all right, fine. Aaron Neesmith, man who shut down Jalen Brunson in the last round, really good defender most nights. SGA seems to have your number, but we trust you. We have faith in you. Go play confidently. Quit trying to use your hands. Use your feet. Be strong. Challenge smartly. And this to me is the biggest thing. Because this is the thing. Neesmith has done a decent job on SGA until he does the dumbest thing that NBA defenders, and frankly defenders at all levels, do. Force a guy into a tough shot and live with it. He quit going for blocks on SGA's shot. He's not Jalen Brunson. He's not 5'11". You're not blocking his shot. Challenge it without fouling. Live with forcing him into a tough shot, knowing he will hit some of them. Because there's a couple of those fouls the other night where the one that was the worst was the one that happened with 0.3 on the shot clock. And you force him into a turning over the wrong shoulder fadeaway that he has almost no chance of hitting. And you foul him instead of just seeing, like, hands straight up. I'm not even going to jump. We're not going to worry about it. Let's go rebound. If Neesmith can make, frankly, even that adjustment, I think that he's probably okay. And so, could they have another solution? Absolutely. Hey, we're going to go under certain stuff. We're going to make sure try to switch. Or we're going to pre-switch some stuff so that they don't get the switch that they want. Like, whatever it is, they can figure out a tactical solution if they want to, or they need to get Neesmith better prepared to guard SGA, and that might be the play tonight. But to think that you're just going to run one simple pick-and-roll action and unlock the entire series against Rick Carlisle? Hell no. Ain't no way. I felt due to, highly unlikely. There. Now it was less declarative. Now it was less hot takey. That was more me. Highly unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just easier said than done. Again, I think throughout the playoffs, Neesmith, he's guarded Jalen Brunson. He's guarded SGA. And it's been the same thing in both series. Like, I just don't think he's as disciplined as Andrew Nembhard has been, you know, when he's had to check Jalen Brunson and SGA. So you're saying like it's, you know, it's you're saying it that, you know, Rick Carlisle will have a solution for it and Neesmith will play better. He'll be more sound, but he just hasn't done it. And we would have thought, you know, we know Jalen Brunson, he's deliberately trying to draw fouls. Shea, on the other hand, he might not be trying to draw the fouls. He just catches you in a bad and awkward position. So I think I'm interested to see like what they do to combat it, but the best thing is going to be not to have Neesmith on SGA in the fourth quarter just because...
Of course.
It just hasn't worked at all.
Of course. Of course. And ideally, you're able to keep him off and Nembhard can stay on and you can navigate the switches or, you know, hedge and that give Nembhard time to get around. Like, it's not like he's Steph Curry. You know, forcing him 30 feet from the basket is less risky, right? It's you don't want him to drive. So the idea of like, okay, well, Aaron Neesmith is going to hedge this screen really hard, let Nembhard recover, and then you need to have everyone else on a string. Like, that's a possibility. Because Neesmith has done a decent job this series on J-Dub, but he's also fouled out twice in the series. So there's a lot there. I think Indiana needs a better game for Mathurin. Obviously, didn't have a great game and had those really dumb fouls late. But if I'm Indiana, I look at the last game and say, if we just hit some open shots that we have hit, we're fine. We're fine. Like, we got a couple things we got to clean up. We got to keep our hands out the cookie jar. But we are a team that wears people down. And to their credit, they're young and they seem to have found a second wind. Okay, do it again. Do it again. As this series gets later and later and later, does it benefit Indiana because of the 94 feet pressure that they put on guys like SGA and J-Dub and everyone who's handling the ball? I think the other part of this is it's almost like Lou Dort came out at halftime. This was a good Simmons take. He was like, Lou Dort came out at halftime and was like, or actually maybe Zach said this. Dort came out at halftime and said, the thing you've been doing to our guy that sucks, I'm going to do it to your guy. And all of a sudden, he's picking up Halliburton 94 feet. So to me, the bigger challenge is, can Indiana unlock Halliburton? And he's still running off a million screens, and they're doing all that stuff, but he's got to be super aggressive tonight. I genuinely think it comes down to this. If Tyrese Halliburton scores 25 or more points tonight, I think the Pacers have a really good chance to win. If he doesn't, I don't think they have much of a chance to win. And he has got to be, again, not aggressive. He's got to be aggressive to score. If he does that, they're a different team. And the numbers back that up. Tim Bontemps talked about it with, had a great stat earlier when he joined us at 5 o'clock. If you missed that, check out the Hoffman Show podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. But they don't lose when he scores big, has big games in the playoffs. Problem is, most of that's come at home. And to be a true superstar, to lean into the rhetoric, you got to do it on the road too. Like, that's the thing that makes SGA, SGA. MVP, SGA, oh, I just dropped 35, including a monster fourth quarter on the road. LeBron, doesn't matter where and when. Curry, game four in Boston a couple years ago, where he went nuclear in the finals and was like, ha, 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 series over. That's what they need from Halliburton tonight. That is what the moment demands from Halliburton tonight. He doesn't have to do it like Curry, like LeBron, and get 40, but he's got to get 25 and 10. And if he does that, I think Indiana can win this, and then they're going back home for game six with all the pressure on OKC.
Yeah, like, I think dating back to the regular season, I think the Pacers are like 34, 35, and 4. They rarely lose when he has 20 points. So, and I don't think they've lost this postseason when he's had 20 points. So I think that's very important. But also, I think the turnover aspect of things is also important. We saw this guy go like 3 straight games against the Knicks without a turnover. And the Thunder are just, getting under his skin. Like, he's turning the ball over left and right. He had 5 last game. So I think also just the ball security, not being careless with it, I think it's also important, because, again, those 5 turnovers, you negate those, it's a different ball game if you score.
For sure. Last thing I'll say real quick, the pace of this game. Indiana's got to get it going, and that's typically not what happens the later a series goes. These two teams at this point know every trick. They know every set. They know everything the other one is trying to do. And those games, because you know so much, each possession goes deeper in the shot clock. You have fewer possessions. Then it gets real grimy and slow. If Indiana can keep up the pace and keep up the pressure, totally different type of game. Again, in this postseason, they are, I think, 12-1 when they score 110. They are 0-6 when they don't. So can Indiana get some easy buckets in transition, Toppin, Siakam, Halliburton, etc., and keep the pace high in general, running off of makes, even off dead ball situations, get the ball and go as fast as you can. There is something to be said for how high scoring or not this game is tonight for the Indiana Pacers. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Up next, though, real things real people said into real microphones.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Hoffman Show, Final 5 here on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. All right, Anthony, tomorrow on the show, it's a Vibe Check Tuesday. Do we know what we're vibe checking tomorrow?
Not quite yet. Not quite yet.
Okay, all right. Well,
I think we're getting to the portion of the summer of the year where,
it's kind of anything goes.
Yeah, we figure things out on the fly, Yeah.
Well, not on the fly.
It's a little more day of.
We will have some story time with Anthony tomorrow because we didn't get time to do it today. Anthony took his first ever train trip this weekend.
Yep.
He also got styled this weekend, so I want to know the details of your weekend.
Craig, I got some stuff for you.
I'm excited for that. Other than that, tomorrow we'll review game 5 of the NBA Finals. Wednesday we'll do a little NBA draft. That'll be 1 week until the first round on Wednesday. So we got some stuff planned longitudinally this week, but don't have much to tell you tomorrow. But other than if you like the show, you'll probably like the show because it'll be me and it'll be Anthony. So there's that. All right.
I think that gets the people going.
Probably. Very provocative. We did it in reverse, but we did it. It's time for Real Things, Real People, Said to Real Microphones. We'll do that tomorrow, too. Come on, button.
Real Things.
We're not going to be sucked this year.
Real People.
5 and 11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right, do we do the funny one or the D-Lo one?
The Bucks one is also funny, too.
That's what I'm saying. Do we have the Bucks one or the D-Lo one?
I like Bucks first, then D-Lo.
Okay, let's see if we can get them both in. It's Father's Day this weekend. Hope all the dads out there had a great Father's Day. And the Bucks had two dads in their wide receiver room, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. And so they had to get them the ultimate dad shoe.
All right, happy Father's Day, guys.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate news. Thank you.
See what we got.
What we got here? Uh-oh.
New shoes?
I always love a Nike box.
Absolutely.
Are these the Monarchs?
The Monarchs.
Damn.
Absolutely. Now, I heard these are comfy, for real.
I like them, too.
I damn sure like these. I'm going to go full dad.
13 or 14?
13.
I got 14s, yeah.
I'm rocking for show.
No, not the generics.
Got to get him socks too.
The crew socks.
The generics. In high school, in middle school, I would be so happy to get a pair of these just like this, like no matter what. Now I rock the Elite socks. You know. Appreciate y'all so much. Thank you.
Man, let me tell
you. Are you gonna put them on?
Yeah, I'm gonna wear
my boy. I'm gonna
wear the shoes out the stove. Oh, these. Sure, I'll be right back. I gotta pick up my son real quick. Nah, they are kind of comfy on the low.
Hey, we make them look clean, though.
They are kind
of comfy. Nah, we can make them look clean.
I'm going to rock these at walkthrough.
And that's the uniforms, too.
I'm definitely going to rock them at walkthrough.
They kind of do go though. With the Bucks uniform.
Ready to go. Hey, Ace going to love these. He'll pick them up, yeah. Wear them around the crib.
Yeah.
Appreciate you guys.
make my legs look extra skinny.
Because they so bulky.
Not the extra skinny legs.
Man, chicken legs. That's what he got.
Those chicken legs going to get him to the Hall of Fame. So
yeah.
It worked out. Those are, thing is, like, it was like a black and red colorway. They didn't look that, am I old? Or did they not look
Craig,
that bad? Or is it because it's Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and they're cool and they were in football uniforms?
I think it's the latter.
Yeah.
I've only seen the blue and white.
Yeah.
What are they called again? Something Marks? Monarchs.
Yeah,
I've only
Monarchs.
Seen the blue and white ones.
Because
my high school basketball coach, freshman year, wore them every day.
Of course he did.
Practice, game, auditions, like, I mean, tryouts. Like, it didn't matter. Like, he was in them. They were, like, all-purpose shoes for him. So, I guess they are comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I have no doubt that they're comfortable. But the thing is, like, can you get comfort and style? And I feel like that colorway is not nearly as bad as the all white or the blue and white.
You should get some.
I mean, I think I gotta have a kid.
And dude, that's gonna be my gift to you when you have your first kid.
Deal, done. Not happening soon. It's the Hoffman Show, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.